This is the regular board meeting of March 16th, 2011. The board has not yet reached quorum number. There are only three board members present at this time at 8:23 p.m. Eastern Time. So we are going to forego the call to order and the roll call until we have quorum. For the time being, we will listen to our reports in an informal matter. Mike, 2011 Fest report.
Okay, Kim, thank you. I sent along my report to be included in the minutes, and really everything's in there. Registration opened on schedule March 1st. We had an initial flurry of registrations, mainly from our comp volunteers and a few early birds. However, hotel registrations did have some activity and were about halfway sold out of our block at the Hilton Garden Inn. I'm a little concerned about that because I'd like to get more rooms there, and I'm going to be talking to them about getting more rooms at the Hilton. And we're about 15% sold at the DoubleTree. Still looking for a couple good volunteers, one for Numbers Championships director. Ryan Favorini hasn't committed yet, and I'm trying to give him the right of first refusal if he wants to do it, but I told him I need a decision pretty soon. Other than that, we're trying to get some flights arranged and getting some logistics ready for the benefit show. We're also working with the Downtown Rochester Alliance, which is a business merchants association downtown. They are very supportive of our festival, and they're going to do a mailing for us to all of their members, so that all of the restaurants and bars know that we're coming and what our schedule is, and have specials for us while we're there in town. Plus, they're going to put us on their premiere stage on Thursday afternoon for the Planting the Juggling Seed show, which will be in the middle of downtown Rochester with about 10,000 people out on the street during their midday fair that they have every Thursday in the downtown plaza area. So that should be great. And everything else is running along just fine with the 2011 Fest.
Awesome. Mike, you said at the DoubleTree we're about half full? Is that what you said?
At the Hilton Garden Inn, we've sold about half of our rooms so far. I'm trying to get more rooms there because we only have, on our peak nights, about 50 rooms. I would like to get about 100 rooms in our peak night there. So I'm going to work with that. More rooms moved over there.
And how full are we at the DoubleTree?
We only have about 5% of our block sold by people other than the IJA reserving rooms. We've got our own set of rooms there, which accounts for about 10% of the total reservations now at the DoubleTree. So if you took our reservations out of that total, very few people have reserved rooms at the DoubleTree. Basically, the only people who have reserved rooms that I know of right now are the Jugheads. They've bought a large block of rooms for a couple of nights, and a few other people that just like to plan way in advance. Keep in mind that there's no benefit for anybody to book a hotel room right now. These rates are good through June 26th. And we're probably not going to sell out for the next month or so. The very first deadline of any kind would be the early registration deadline, which is at the end of next month. And I expect to see a lot more registrations come in right before then, but they may not especially be associated with hotel reservations because you can make those at any time with no penalty.
Well, the reason I ask about the DoubleTree, Mike, is because I did go ahead and make a reservation there.
Uh-huh.
However, they quoted me a price of $179 per night. They said that all the IJA room rates were gone.
Okay. I have been in communication back and forth with the gal there, Sarah, and the reason is that they had very few doubles assigned for us on our first nights, Sunday and Monday night. And I advised her that we need a lot of rooms available on those nights because we're going to have most of our staff coming in those days.
Right.
So I would say, Kim, don't cancel your reservation, but instead call them back now that I've had a few days to straighten this out. Talk to the hotel reservation specialist during the day.
Okay.
And tell them the type of room that you want, and there should be availability of that room type in the IJA block again.
Okay. I was just concerned that they might be telling people that they're filled already.
I was concerned, too, and they misunderstood what our profile of attendees looks like. So it took a few days of back and forth to get them squared away, and I think they have it now. I heard from other people as well.
Okay.
So
any
that's
questions?
It for the 11 Fest.
Awesome.
This is Kevin. I have a few questions. One, you mentioned the detailed report. Kim, did you get that? Can you forward that to Brandy? I don't think we have that.
Yes, I will. I'm sorry. I'm having an issue with email at school.
All right.
I can receive email from anywhere, but they won't let me send it.
I can send it to you right from here, Brandy. What's your email address?
pyraphilic@gmail.com.
Oh boy. I didn't get much of that.
It's Pyra, P-Y-R-A.
Okay.
Philiac, P-H-I-L-I-A-C.
Yeah.
@gmail.com.
P-H-I-L-I-A-T.
C.
C as in cat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pyrophiliac.
All right, I'll try and send it, and if it bounces, I'll know I didn't get it right. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Not to be confused with pyromaniac.
Right.
Far more unreasonable. Is there one that stands out as nicer, the DoubleTree or the Hilton, Mike, if I were to, as far as picking our own and advising our close friends on which one to pick, or are they both matched?
They're both real nice, Kevin. The DoubleTree is a little nicer. It has a white tablecloth restaurant down in the lobby, and the lobby is a lot nicer, but most people don't spend a lot of time in the lobby. The rooms are essentially the same, and the other amenities of the hotels are about the same. They both have an indoor pool. They're both connected to the Skywalk. The DoubleTree is about 300 feet closer to the gym. But they are very, very close, and that's why the rates are very close.
Great. And then I just wanted to also check if, because I was supposed to email Matt about it, but I missed it, about the fuel purchase for the fire event.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be talking to Jim Maxwell about a lot of details on the fire event, and I would like to just have Jim take care of all of that stuff. He's going to buy the fire extinguisher. He's probably going to go out shopping for fuel and probably some canvas cloths for dousing and so on.
Great. So I can maybe shoot him just an email. That's great.
Yeah, why don't we do that, and then Jim can be the one guy that we go to for everything for fire in Rochester.
Fantastic. That's all.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mike?
Oh, yeah, one more. What day is the busking competition?
Well, funny you should ask. That's one of the things that the Fund is still working on, and I know that the committee has approved the idea of it, but there haven't been a lot of additional details wrapped around that just yet, Kevin. Let me see if I had anything on the schedule for that right now. I don't think I had busking on the calendar at all yet because we haven't had enough detail worked out on it yet.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't think it's on anybody's calendar yet. So once the fund finishes up and figures out who's going to take charge of that, then we can decide where to put it on the schedule.
Cool.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mike, do you want to say anything about your future festivals, about your trip to Bowling Green?
Yeah, sure. Well, my report from Bowling Green was posted up on the Board Plus, and I hope if you have a few hours free one night, you'll curl up with a nice glass of wine and read that. But it was pretty amazing. First of all, amazing that they want us. And secondly, amazing that they have pretty much everything we want, not ideal in many ways, but certainly very acceptable. And when you add all of that up together with the really amazing prices that they are going to offer us for lodging in a brand new residence hall, it would give the IJA an opportunity to return to the college campus type setting that we had in the early 90s and give the IJA a chance once and for all to answer people who say that our festivals are too expensive. Bowling Green even would allow us to have campers pitch tents in a field on campus.
Matt Hall?
And the campers would have access to inside washroom and shower facilities for just $10 a night per camper. So they have everything that we want. That's the upside. The downside is Bowling Green is rather hard to get to. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from Detroit. But it's easy to reach by car, and it's not very hard to reach by air if you can get yourself to Detroit. IJA would, if we decide to hold a festival there, would probably work out a shuttle bus system to bring people in from Detroit Airport. The great thing about offering a festival option in Bowling Green would be that we could register people and sell them everything that they would need for the whole week on one order form, and that would include airport transportation, their complete festival package, all their meals, and their lodging on campus. And so we could tell them, all you've got to do is get yourself to Detroit Airport on these days, and we'll take care of everything else. You won't have to spend another nickel once you get to Bowling Green. And the prices, again, for food and lodging are very reasonable. So I urge all of the board members to look over the proposal and to consider my recommendation, which would be that we plan a return trip once all the snow has melted for myself and one IJA board member. And my preference would be for someone like Kevin Axtell or a Matt Hall or a Jim Maxwell, who's been to many festivals all over the country and all over the world, and could give a second set of expert opinion on some of the facilities and layout there in Bowling Green so that we can then decide to move forward or to eliminate Bowling Green as a potential 2013 or 2014 site.
Okay. Any questions for Mike about the Future Fest?
It's starting to sound really good, I must admit. You know, everything on one order form really kind of caught my ear. That's nice.
Yeah, and $34 a night to stay in a brand new state-of-the-art dormitory room, which has a private bath and high-speed internet, and it's being built right now. It won't even open until next fall, so. It's a pretty lush convenience facilities right on campus, everything within three blocks of each other. A nice campus, very nice facilities. I mean, world-class facilities. This is quite a large university. So it's got a lot of ingredients that we would want and at prices that are very attractive to us. So we could make it work if we could get around a few of the things that I mentioned and some of those might be deal breakers. For example, the flooring material in the big room that they're proposing for us might not at all be suitable for juggling space. So we'd have to look at those things during the second site visit. Also, on other Future Fest, I went to Richmond, Virginia for a day and a half the week after my visit to Bowling Green. Richmond is a much bigger city. They have much, much more convention business. They don't really need the IJA. They're not. They seem interested in us, but I think they're just interested in us in the same way that they would be any other convention our size. We wouldn't make or break a week for them in the middle of summer like we would in other small cities. Many of their facilities are much more lavish and much larger than we need, and my fear would be that the IJA would get lost in the shuffle among many other conventions going on during the same time. Whereas when we're in Rochester, we're the big deal in town, and when we're in Winston-Salem, we're the big deal in town. We take over the entire convention center and the two big hotels, and that's the same in Rochester. So we would get the city's full attention. We would get the full attention of the convention center staff and the hotel staff, and that gives us additional leverage in pricing and in concessions. So I'm not overly enthusiastic about Richmond's proposal. Their prices are not eye-popping, and you know, it's the similar type of proposal that we get from a lot of cities. Nothing really remarkable about it. Working actively with a new proposal that's come in from Columbia, South Carolina, which sounds a lot like Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in what they want to offer us and the pricing. And then I'm still talking to Columbus, Ohio, Indianapolis, Indiana, several other cities that I mentioned on my report last month, and Dayton, Ohio. We're also probably going to be visiting Dayton, Ohio pretty soon to see what they have to offer. So we've got plenty of options, and when the IJA new board comes in at the festival in July, I hope we would be able to have a decision on a 2013 festival very soon. So we'll have plenty of options to choose from by then.
Okay. Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
Okay, cool. Mike, you said you were interested in having a second set of eyes for the other visit. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Is that Matt speaking?
Yes.
Yes, I would love to, Matt. I would like the board to consider my recommendation that we schedule a return trip for myself and someone else. You would be an ideal candidate, Kevin Axtell, Jim Maxwell, someone of your caliber, who has been to many festivals around the world and could tour the facilities like I did and give your input on their suitability and so on, so that the board is not relying on just my opinion on all these things to make this decision.
I'd be happy to do that, and it's just really a question of when and if that coincides with what's going on for me in the next several months.
Yeah, well, my preference, Matt, would be to do it once school is out, so that we could do it during a weekday and not interfere with your work at school. And also, the snow would all be melted by then, without any doubt. And it would still give us enough time to get all the information and make a good decision by the time the festival comes around. So I'm thinking April or May. When does school let out for you?
For me, school this year ends in May with the furlough days, such as it is. And then right after school ends on the 25th, I'm going to be in Mexico with Kevin until June 8th, and then I leave for Japan on the 12th and get back June, like, 20th, 21st. And then essentially between June 21st and IJA, I'm free.
Oh, good. So the month between June 21st and July 18th.
Yep, you got it.
Okay. Well, good. I'm going to make a note of that, and you won't be heartbroken if I have to ask someone else to go instead just to make it happen sooner, if that's what BGSU wants to do.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. I'm probably the worst in terms of scheduling.
Okay, very good. Thank you, and I would greatly value your input or someone, some of the other people I mentioned, like Kevin or Jim. If I'm forgetting someone, I apologize, but those are the people that I know that have been to a lot of festivals around the world and could offer some input like that. Tom Wall,
I think,
would also be that type of person.
True.
Yeah, this is Kevin. I would say that if Matt is available and the scheduling works out, I think he should be the top candidate, but I'm definitely interested in and very willing to go, and most weekdays are usually good for me.
Okay, well, that's when we'd want to do it. Now, the thing about this one is the IJA would have to pay for our airfare. They BGSU is kind of weird. They're not like a regular convention and visitors bureau. They don't have a budget to pay to fly us in. So we would have to pay, the IJA would have to pay for our airfare to go in 11. But once we get there, BGSU will house us and feed us and show us around. So the IJA is looking at a couple of $100 each for airfare to Detroit.
Got it.
Okay, any other questions for Mike? All right, if not, Matt, we did not call the meeting officially to order yet since we did not have quorum.
Oh, wow, okay.
But we've just been doing reports, that's all.
Right. I know Kevin couldn't make it. I got his email.
Yeah, and Tom hasn't checked in, so you officially give us quorum.
Okay.
Richard had contacted me and said he may not be able to make it, so it's just Kevin Axtell and Aaron Stevens and you and me and Brandy,
okay,
here, of course.
That makes quorum.
Yep, makes quorum. So now I will officially call our meeting to order at 8:43 p.m. Eastern Time. And roll call, Kim Laird is present. Kevin Axtell?
Present.
Matt Hall?
Present.
Richard Kennison? Absent. Kevin McBeth is absent. Aaron Stevens?
Present.
Tom Wall is absent. Brandy Axtell, recording secretary?
Here.
Mike Sullivan, festival director and future fest director?
Present.
And did I hear anyone else come in? Did I miss anyone?
This is Martin. I'm here.
Hi, Martin. Martin Frost is here, communications director. All right. Approval of tonight's agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda for this evening?
I so move, Kevin.
And a second, please.
Seconded, Matt.
Okay. Is there anyone opposed or any additions, corrections that anyone saw that needed to be made?
Just on the motions part, we can bring it up more then, but adding specifically a acceptance or a vote for the approval of the IRC proposal for Mexico.
Okay.
Which, Matt, I said earlier, I just emailed right before the meeting, if you have a chance to look.
Got it.
Cool.
I'm good to go.
All right. So, Brandy, if you could,
the insurance piece.
If you can add that in, we'll add that to the motions for consideration. It would be actually the approval of the IRC proposal for Guadalajara, Mexico.
Motion to approve the IRC.
Anything else?
We just want to get that wording right on the motion. Motion to approve the IRC. Finish that, please.
The IRC.
Motion to approve the
IRC proposal.
IRC in Guadalajara, Mexico.
For Guadalajara. So that's a second motion, right? Got it.
We'll do it as two separate motions.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that anyone saw? If not, is there anyone opposed to the approval of tonight's agenda? Any abstentions? Tonight's agenda is approved. Approval of the minutes from February's meeting. Someone to make that motion, please.
I move that we approve the minutes. This is Matt.
Second, Aaron.
Okay. There was one mistake that I did catch on those, and please note this, Brandy, under the approval of minutes. Matt had entered the meeting late last time, and we have him showing as both present and absent. So we just have to correct that with the time, the approximate time that he joined the meeting.
Yeah, it was about 5:30.
Yeah.
About same as today. Oops.
8:30 Eastern. Yeah, it was approximately 8:30 Eastern. So we just need to make that correction. Any other corrections that anyone saw? If not, anyone opposed to the approval of the minutes from February 23rd? Abstentions? The minutes are approved. We already covered the 2011 FEST report and the future FEST report. Matt, is there anything from the Fund Committee?
Only that we are now confirmed to have a meeting on the 21st, which is next Monday.
Okay.
And
cool.
we're gonna figure out what to do with that last 4,000.
Good.
Although I did have one question from a couple of the Fund members who are in charge of certain things, like for example, Warren in charge of the lounge and Slammin in charge of the gauntlet and construction and so forth. They are wondering how they go about beginning. Like, do they see you for the money? Do they pay and then get reimbursed? As we're starting to get into the logistics of the implementation of what we want to do.
Maybe
yeah.
Submit like an itemized, price request or an estimate, an outline, something to that effect.
But that won't help them to necessarily get paid. Mike,
yeah,
we are supposed
if Slammin wants to start building, he needs to start buying materials.
Yeah. We were supposed to get a debit card with that account. And, Mike, I was going to have you as FEST director hold that second debit card. But I'm wondering if a debit card's the way to go. Should we just have regular checks for that? What would you recommend?
Maybe a debit card and a checkbook, and make me accountable for both, and then the volunteers can buy what they need to buy and submit an expense report, and I'll reimburse them, or if you want Holly to have the checkbook, and she can reimburse them.
Okay. Well, actually, right now, through the Bank of America website, she can issue checks right through the website.
Uh-huh.
So if we go that route,
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, this is a different account that we're talking about, right, Kim? It's already
yeah.
set up?
Yes, it's the Fund account. It is a totally separate account.
Yeah. Well, that's the way to go, is to have the volunteers or whoever's working on an item keep all the receipts, turn in an expense report. It doesn't have to be fancy, but it does have to have the original receipts and a little spreadsheet that adds them all up, and send that to Holly either by email or paper mail, and then she'll cut them a check.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'll let those guys know so they can get cracking.
Okay.
I assume the expenses are approved to certain, in certain specific ways by the committee or whatever.
Yes, Martin. Matt has set budget limits for each of the activities, and
okay.
people that are working on them know what those limits are and what they're for.
Good.
What I would like to do, Matt, is if you could even touch base with Holly, even if it's just the outline that you had given us at the last meeting.
Yeah, I can let her know what the line item costs are, and then she can go from there.
Yeah, just so she can keep track of the budget that way.
Sounds good. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Any other questions for Matt? All right.
Oh,
good job.
Brief report. At the Arkansas Fest just last weekend, where we had, basically Doug Sayers, Jay Gilligan, Wes Peten, Tony Pezzo. I mean, it's like monster people at this small fest, about like 100 people tops. I was throwing around some of the fun ideas and options, and a lot of people were like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's going to be good. Oh, I think it'll be good. I think I even got a marginal like smile out of Jay Gilligan and Beth. So,
probably about the obstacle course.
The obstacle course, they were definitely like, Doug and those guys are like, yeah, it's crazy, Well, we will see. And then, of course, I mentioned that we had some more money, and I asked for people's ideas, and they pretty much all either want, they all said food. They all want free food. And then when I suggested paying an honorarium or some sort of just kind of thank you extra fee to the gala show performers like Stefan Zing, they also thought that was a reasonable thing to do. But that's neither here nor there because we're going to have to talk about it in the Fund Fund Committee. But that's where we're going.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Good job, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You're rocking it. I like it. financial report. Kevin isn't here. However, Holly did just email earlier this evening the quarter four profit and loss sheet and the quarter four balance sheet, and I am forwarding that to everyone right now. Okay, so that should be on its way. Nothing that we really need to do with it, but if everyone can take a look at it, see if there's any questions you have for Kevin or Holly. Okay. Website team, do we have any information there?
As I said last month, we've gotten out of, I think, close to a dozen solicitations that I sent out. We got four responses. I have had calls with two of those four people, and we're playing phone tag with the other two to try and get them on the phone. And sounds so far like all the people that we've talked to, two from earlier on and these two, are interested in working with the IJA and submitting a proposal to us to do the consulting work. So I know this keeps dragging on, but this is the nature of the consulting business, I'm afraid, and it'll probably be before next month's meeting that I'll be able to say these are the guys that want to work with us, and I'm going to ask them to submit proposals to do so. So that's where we're at. The other thing was, I think, Kim, you and Don Lewis talked at the festival last weekend about writing up a blurb about this project for the next issue of E-News. So I've done that and turned it into Don, and he's going to run it in the March edition coming out late this month.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay, any other questions about the website? Okay, if not, Marilyn did send. Is Marilyn there with you tonight?
No, she's away doing something else, right to say, but her report
is okay.
Pretty simple.
Yes, she did have her report, which I am going to forward to Brandy right now.
Yeah.
I don't think I did that. And there were 1,251 magazine labels created on March 14th. Number of member records stands right now at 1,248. Total number of members is at 1,492, and that's made up of 174 families, 69 youth, and 280 life members. The number of registrations for the 2011 Fest are currently at 21. 11 of those are non-comp. Benefit show tickets sold are 17, and they're the numbers that we have right now. Okay. Education, Kevin and Aaron.
Cool. Yeah, things are going good. We're wrapping up our pilot program at the end of this month. We have three programs still going on for the next couple weeks. Joyce Axtell is working on grants. We've got three regional grants and one national grant that she's going to be applying for. And, yeah, so far our numbers have been great. We've had probably close to 150 young folks involved in the three pilot programs that have been going on. So that's great, and we're working on getting a promo video going on as well as a report from this pilot program to be able to share with the board and with the IJA members as well.
Yeah. And I'll just chime in a little bit. Also, the pilot program has given us a general idea of the average per pod cost. In other words, how much money will be needed, what we're looking at to try to sustain and grow the program. And the 5,000 initial donation, we spent approximately, what was it, Aaron, 2,000 on instructors?
2,500. Yeah, around 2,500.
2,500 went out to instructors with three pods. So you can get an idea of the type of fundraising we're looking at with, you know, the goal of maybe to try to grow it by at least half this year, 6 to 10 pods, and then eventually a lot more. So, but that, it does give us a great idea of what it's going to cost, what kind of funds we'll need. And like Aaron said, we'll be compiling the report of the pilot program both for promotional purposes, for the fundraising, for the grants, as information and materials for that, using footage from the benefit show, the IJA benefit show, where kids are also taught to juggle as part of that promotion. That's all.
And if I could just interject here as well, I did finally get David Landown to post our YEP trifold, which is available for people to print off if they wish. And that is at www.juggle.org/business/YEP/YEP.
nice.
So do you want to go and see the trifold that we've created to help with promotions, head on over to the juggle.org site. And we had an awesome first response as far as a principal or a site supervisor responding to the YEP program that was held by Doug and Cheryl Sayers. So we're getting some awesome feedback.
Yep.
So good job, gang. Yay.
Cool.
Any questions about the education programs? If not, we'll skip marketing and promotion since Tom isn't here this evening, and we'll move on to motions for consideration. The first motion for consideration is a
motion. Oh, sorry,
go ahead.
I have to propose that we vote on the approval of the IRC first, just because that'll make it relevant that we're getting insurance.
Yes, I was actually going to do that, but thank
Perfect.
You.
Okay.
Yeah. Motion to approve the proposal for the IRC event in Guadalajara, Mexico. I don't know exactly how I worded that before, Brandy, so if you have a different wording, by all means, just let us know what it is.
Okay, I had down a motion to approve the IRC proposal for the Guadalajara, Mexico Juggling Festival.
Awesome. Someone to make that motion, please.
I'll make that motion.
Kevin Axel.
And a second?
Second, Aaron.
Okay. And discussion?
Matt, I think you might have caught this, but it was the proposal itself has very recently been sent out. I don't know if you're at a place where you had a chance to look at it, but Aaron, maybe if not, you could give Matt the super condensed version.
Yeah, I think he said he already got it, right, Matt?
Yeah. I'm good to go.
Step on the email. And
it's
Spanish and English.
Yes.
Okay. good. So, yeah, just looking over it. They have a great venue they're going to be having, a big circus tent with lights and stage and everything for the competition. Their sponsor is donating money for the prize money. I think it's 300 first place, 200 second place, 100 third place. We are planning to provide the medals for the competition. And it's been mentioned, and this is just to throw it out there, that potentially for next year's fund committee submitting a proposal to fly in the winner of an IRC as an extra benefit to either compete or perform if they don't make it through prelims at the festival, but that would be brought up with next year's fund committee. They've been great organizers so far. And the one thing, too, that we're waiting on is insurance, just figuring that out. We decided to submit the proposal since we're down to 3 months and trust that insurance will fall into place because we've got some different options at this point.
And I also did check into the medals with Hasty Awards, which is where we presently get our medals. While we could design a new medal for this event, we would most likely not have them for this year's event in Guadalajara. However, Tom did find an awesome place that does glass-etched medals.
Yeah.
And they actually look awesome. They are incredible looking. So, and it's a very quick turnaround from that company. So
and
I think that would probably be our best bet at this point.
Good and affordable as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So any questions, any further discussion?
I think it's absolutely worth the investment for the insurance. I mean, I can truly see a number of regional competitions throughout the globe in the next few years, and that really bolstering our international image and participation.
Yep.
I think this is something we really need.
Yeah. And I'm excited. Omer Omena, who's the one who's been organizing this all with us, first thing he told me when I joined the board was, you need to be international. So when I first emailed him about the proposal, he was absolutely thrilled and wants to help that happen as much as possible. So I think this is a great place to start.
Well, if there's no further discussion, let's move to the vote. Is there anyone opposed to the IRC proposal for Guadalajara, Mexico? Any abstentions? The motion passes. We have IRC in Guadalajara, Mexico. Awesome.
Kevin, you ready, baby? They're going to ask us to judge, you know.
No, they're not. They have to have Mexican judges. That's part of the prerequisite. I'll be there, too, by the way.
You are going?
Yep.
Awesome.
And what are the dates of this again? Oh,
the 1st through the 5th of June.
Flying down on the 30th.
I'm in final exams at that time. Oh.
I would be if my district had furloughed us.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt.
Crazy.
It's a
but
silver
I could
lining.
I be in Mexico instead.
Yeah, exactly. I give up 3% of my salary, but I get to go to Mexico. Oh, well.
All right, on to the second motion for this evening, a motion to allow the purchase of event insurance to cover the IJA regional competition program not to exceed $500. Someone to make this motion, please.
I'll make
so moved.
Aaron.
Okay.
Take your pick, Brandy.
And the second?
I'll second it. You can make Aaron the motion.
Okay. And discussion. Just to bring everyone up to speed, I have talked with Aaron and Tom through email about this. I am working with Dale Wittick, who is the insurance provider for our performers insurance that the IJA offers, and they have recently acquired a new insurance called Event Planner Insurance, which we may be able to start offering through the IJA. And it is an international insurance. It is not just U.S. boundaries. And he is trying to, as he put it, make a round peg fit into a square hole. Because it's kind of what we need for the IRC, but it's not an exact fit. So he is working with the underwriter for that insurance to try and get us the coverage that we need.
And wasn't it something about it, us being an association rather than an actual event planner?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder, can event planners from other countries? You said it's an international insurance. Does it have to be the event planners from the U.S., or can it be event planners from?
That's what he's getting the details on from the underwriters of this particular insurance.
Okay.
And he just hasn't gotten back to me quite yet this week.
Right.
I'm supposed to have a call by Friday of this week, so that we can discuss it more. And by then he will have information from the actual underwriter. But because we were approving the proposal tonight, I felt that it was important for us to know, okay, if we can get this insurance, we're going to go ahead and get it. Because we do need to be covered. Even though laws are different in foreign countries, the IJA needs to be covered in some way if we're sponsoring this event.
Yeah, and we need to set the standard for all the future events, you know. All of the international regional championships should be covered from the very beginning.
Right. And he did tell me it would be under $500. He was checking in to see if that's $500 per event or per year, because this is a very new insurance to this company. So he's still learning about it as well. From the sounds of it, we're going to be the first client to get this type of insurance through them. So
nice.
kind of guinea pig, but let's break some ground.
Right. I just wanted to throw this out there because the Mexico group is willing to pay for, part of the initial proposal that me and Tom sent was that they were responsible for insurance, but they don't know what event insurance is in Mexico. So just to throw out there that they do have a sponsor who's willing to pay for insurance. I'm not sure what those confines are or what the restraints on the monetary payment would be for that. But voting on it here would be great that we will cover it, you know, but if we could continue to negotiate if they could cover 50%, you know, or whatever it is.
I was going to say, even if we could agree later, you know,
exactly.
It's a 50-50 split, and then it's a true international venture.
Yeah, and also if there is the issue of us being an association rather than event planners, they are the event planners. So if they were the ones applying, then that's an option as well. So to make it a round hole, a round peg fitting in a round hole.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just to throw that out there, too, that they are willing to help out with that piece. Maybe.
Any other discussion about the insurance for the IRC? If not, we'll go to a vote. Is there anyone opposed to purchasing event insurance to cover the IJA regional competition program? Any abstentions? If not, the motion passes. Yay. So we're all set for IRC.
Yahoo!
We just have to get the details.
What's that?
The competitors are just going to be, I have a feeling it's going to be big.
It's going to be sick, man. I think Mexico is so, the Mexican juggling.
There's a lot of good jugglers down there.
And a lot of us don't even know the IJA exists, and that's what I think is really exciting about this is just getting that out there and being able to offer them support and vice versa.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
They're gonna be stoked.
Yeah.
Okay, under VARIA tonight, are there any other motions for consideration? If not, one of the things we have to start discussing in VARIA is Juggle Magazine. The present contract expires as of December 31st of this year, 2011. So we have to start looking at what we want to do. A suggestion that I just want to throw out there is what Sandy Brown and I tried to do, not this current contract, but the contract before. And we just put together some basic wants and needs of the organization, and we put it out there hoping to get, you know, bids of some sort. What I propose that we do is actually put together a more formal bid packet this time as far as what we would like to see people put in a bid proposal. Put it up on our forums, put it out there on the forums, wherever, as well as actually approaching various publishers And as I said, Sandy and I did that a bit the last time we worked on the magazine contract. We approached Rodale Press. We approached Quantum Press. There were four different professional publishers that we approached besides Alan Howard, most of whom came back and said, you can't afford what we need to charge. But just because it came back that way before, I think we need to follow a bid process of some sort. So what are your thoughts?
Well, part of it's going to depend on the opinions and positions of the new board or the next group elected in. It's been tough in the past to really rake in our members' opinions en masse. I just wish there was some way to really get a reliable, almost poll of all of our jugglers and what their positions on the magazine are on a variety of things, from having it or not having it to what should be in it and things like that. I mean, that's all pretty broad subjective stuff. I'm done.
I did an informal poll actually at Arkansas. Once again, and by informal meaning, sitting around the campfire with beers and stuff. But it was completely split. Half the people were like, "Get rid of the magazine, be gone, magazine. I want the savings passed to me. I want cheaper festivals. I don't care about the magazine. The magazine blows." And then of course the other half were like, "The magazine is the only reason I'm in the IJ." And I'm like, "Okay." And so then we started talking about, well, what about a multiple membership tiered system where, if you get a magazine, this is your membership fee. If you don't get a magazine, this is your membership fee. And then we talked about print magazine versus digital. For example, I don't know if any of you guys get it, but the Latin American juggling magazine El Cerquens is completely digital, and it is fantastic.
And do they charge for it?
That's a good question. I got it for free. They sent it to me for free. I think they sent it to everybody because I was featured in it, and they just sent it to me, and now I get it every month. I don't think they would give me a free membership just because they did an interview with me.
See, that's the thing. When Anthony was looking at the magazine for this present contract, he did look at the e-zine option. The board at that time did look at a tiered membership system where you had the choice of either digital copy or print copy, and there would be different price points for those. And when we kind of looked into it, to have somebody put together all the information for an e-zine compared to a print magazine, there was some savings, but you still have to pay. You still have to pay people to put that thing together.
Most of the cost is in editing and creating the articles, not in the printing. The printing and even the mailing are not a very high percentage of the cost. They're like, five, on the order of 10%, covers printing and mailing. But it's not a big saving if we just do that. And if we only go to, let's say, half as many. If you have a tiered membership level, and only half the people want the magazine, then you're going to have to charge them twice as much as you would have charged everybody, at least, because it kind of costs just as much to produce the magazine. Right. You're going to save, that 10%, or you're going to save half of that 10%. So there's no easy solution here.
Is there an outline somewhere of what costs are involved specifically in the magazine and
annual budget?
Yes. Actually, no, not in the annual budget as much. Alan Howard actually sent me the entire breakdown of how much is paid out to contributors, how much goes into printing, how much goes into postage, and I'll be happy to email that out. I'll forward that to the rest of the board
as we start talking about this.
Yeah, it was from what we had done before. from what Anthony had researched when he was doing research for this last contract. I had contacted Alan Howard and asked for a specific breakdown of everything. So we do have that based on approximately 2 years ago. I'm sure he can do that again for us. I can also send to everyone the breakdown that Anthony did last year of digital versus print magazine and what savings there would be or would appear not to be. So if the rest of you are interested in seeing that, I can email that out between today and tomorrow to everyone. And I just wanted to bring up the topic tonight and get us all thinking about it, because even though we're, 9 months away from the end of the contract, 9 months is going to go very quickly. And honestly, we really can't just leave it until July, until the new board comes in, because you're going to be really cutting them close on what the options are. If we're going to put things out on a bid process, we have to give a timeline as to, you know, how long are we going to give people to get bids in and work on this.
If this contract goes to anybody but Alan Howard, they will probably need to have it signed by October 1st or earlier. Alan obviously could probably just continue working, but other folks are going to need to get organized, or else maybe you'll have a delayed first magazine. That's not a big deal, I guess, but you really want to have it signed probably October 1st or something.
Also, I don't know how many present board members are aware of this, but it is in the contract. We are presently leasing the name Juggle. The name Juggle Magazine actually belongs to, Martin, I'm going to forget his name.
Stan
Allen. And from Stage Right Publishing. He is leasing that name to Alan Howard, and it is in the contract that if Alan Howard is no longer associated with the magazine, that we will most likely lose that name of Juggle. I don't know whether that's a big deal to people, but it's something for us to all be aware of.
I don't think it's a big deal, and if you had to go somewhere else because of the cost saving, create a new name. But
change it to Juggler, boom, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Add an R.
Pick one that hasn't been used. I believe that's been used.
Juggler has been used for the IJA?
Not for the IJA. By another, I think there was a Juggler magazine. I don't know. But anyway, that's something that would have to be researched.
So do you guys want me to start by just sending you what information I have, the breakdown of what the magazine actually costs, line-by-line itemized list? I'll also send you what Anthony Shave did on this last contract as far as a breakdown and his information on the e-zine option, because he did rather extensive work and had a lot of really good numbers. So I'll get that out to everybody. Start thinking about what you want to do, what we want, what the IJA needs, and we can move from there. Does that sound like a plan?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Anything else for Varia tonight?
Kevin, two very quick things. One, along the lines of thinking ahead to the future, nominations for our next board members. The deadline is June something, is that correct? The magazine deadline is different from the other deadline. What's the magazine submission deadline, do we know?
Magazine submission deadline, I believe, is April 11th.
Yeah, that's really, really soon. And, I'm certainly encouraging and supporting Kim to run again. I know Kevin McBeth is not going to be. I'd love to see us all send a little personal encouragement to Tom to run again. Mm-hmm. But even then, that leaves one space Matt, you talked to Dave Pawson a little bit?
Pawson said he's going to be running as well, yeah.
Okay. Well, that
yep.
just...
So far, as far as I'm concerned, he is running. That's the last I spoke with him with, yeah.
He emailed me that as well. So
who's not running? Who on the board, current board is not going to run?
At present, Kevin McBeth is not planning on rerunning.
Okay. The deadline is April 10th for the magazine, and since that includes the ballot, that's basically the deadline. You know, that's a pretty effective deadline for getting on the well, certainly that's the deadline for getting on the magazine ballot, which is what people mail in.
Right, and that's very important.
The final deadline.
About that, April 10th. And
there have been
no
nominations that I know of to this point.
Right, that's what I thought.
Including people going, including whoever's running wants to run again, who's currently on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Final deadline. We will have to make sure that we get our nominations in,
yes.
And also maybe make sure that the membership knows somewhere post something for nominations, just so it's kind of public.
Well, that should go out in the next e-news then.
It's actually it's been in the last two e-newsletters, at least the last two.
Good.
Has it been posted on the chat forum for those who do read it?
No, we should probably put it there.
What's that?
We should put it on the forum as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And my
Did
second
put it on the forum?
Issue was more informal. I strongly object to Matt Hall not going to the Humble Juggling Festival. For the record.
Wow, Matt, that's a biggie.
I know. First time since
years.
I don't know, 2002. Maybe I missed it. 2003. But homestays are here. They just got here today. I mean, you can imagine how they make it out of Japan. But now they're in a country where they think everybody's going to shoot them. You know?
Oh, jeez.
So, takes a lot of hand-holding, you know, to get them here and get them having a good time, you know, and relaxing in Eastside San Jose. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So,
yeah.
We were off to a good start today, and they're going to be here till Sunday, though. So that's how it works. And then I've got to fly down to L.A. literally – for like 12 hours. I'm flying down to LA Saturday morning to go to Ivan's surprise 30th birthday, where we're roasting. Me, Nizer, and Bryson Lang are roasting him.
I hope he doesn't listen to the audio on the website before then, or it's spoiler surprise.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for this party. Ivan has no clue. His wife has invited Anthony and everybody. I don't think Anthony's going to be there, but it's going to be on, you know.
Oh.
So and then I'm flying right back for the homestays, because the party for the homestays is Saturday night.
Oh,
and Ivan's party is Friday night. So, crazy.
Well, we'll miss you, Matt. You've helped to make that festival what it is. So I'll throw something up in the air for you.
Go do your thing, man. Go headline it. You take care. You got the skills, man. Take care of business. Give the people what they want.
Matt, not to bring things down or anything, but have you heard from any of your connections in Japan? It's kind of everyone that you know okay?
Tokyo is doing all right. They're hurting a little bit. Most of the damage, as you know, was in the Tohoku region, was the northeast region, and then bending down towards Miyagi or upward to Miyagi Prefecture, and then down the peninsula. But it's a mess. I mean, it's a huge mess, and it's not getting better. Although when I talked to Lisa about a half hour ago, she said she had read something online or just heard a new broadcast saying that they might have a way to cool the reactors, whereas just 12 hours ago they had abandoned them.
Yeah.
You know, they went from 800 workers to 50 workers, and of course those 50 are pretty much dead. You know, if not tomorrow, a year from now,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of the radiation they've hit, they've got hit with. And then they pulled those 50 out and just, and nobody, right? They're doing, trying to do it automated. That didn't work. So now they're trying to, they're trying to bring the power online, the generators online, so they can get the cooling systems actually going again instead of just spraying seawater on the ship. So, yeah, it's bad. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and then
that's with them.
Well, and everybody's worried about the reactor, and so it's kind of, everybody's kind of forgotten that whole swaths of the coastline have been destroyed just completely.
Right.
You've seen the videos, so. Yeah, death toll, I'll bet, is going to be 5,000 plus.
Well, like I said, our thoughts are with them all.
Yeah, we're going to treat these kids, these students and these kids really well, and hopefully they'll be able to relax and forget about the crisis for a little bit. And then my students have already raised $1,000. I literally asked each student for $1 yesterday. I asked, and I have like 200 kids in my program. I asked each kid for $1, and I said I'd match every dollar that they gave, and they've given $1,000. So now I'm screwed.
I was going to say, there goes your budget.
Yeah, I'm completely – now I hoist on my own petard. Now I got to freaking come up with cash and stuff. So.
Isn't that just like kids?
That's great. It's all good. It's all good. And we're going to give them the money in an international yen money order on Sunday before they leave and let them take it back and donate it to the Japanese charity of their choosing on behalf of our sister's high school and then Silver Creek High School. So,
well,
yeah,
awesome.
It's going to be good. But I'm going to be busy until Sunday, so don't call me.
Okay. All right. Well, so that you can go and relax with your kids for a while. If there's nothing else, let's schedule our next meeting. We're in April. And the third week in April happens to be the 20th.
Unfortunately, Brandy and I cannot do the 20th. We can do the 13th or the 27th.
Or the 13th I cannot do. That's our dress rehearsal week before our show. That's the night before we open.
Well, it's a little early, but what about the 6th? At least it's before the nomination deadline. That's a good thing. Make sure we got our cards lined up or whatever. Is that too early?
Well, that's 3 weeks from now, actually.
It's either that or the 27th. Anyone else?
I'm definitely about the 27th because 6th through the 10th, I'm in D.C. with the students at the Japan Bowl National Championships. And then literally from the 14th – oh, shit, never mind. Wait. I'm an idiot. From the 14th to the 28th, I'm at the British Juggling Convention and the Israeli Juggling Convention. So no matter how you slice it, I'm out of the country.
Got it.
I can do the 11th through the 13th. So I guess the 13th, but that's not too far away from now.
Personally, Mike, I know that it gets difficult if it's not. Is Mike still on the call?
Nope.
He may have left.
I think he signed off.
All right. Personally, for me, the 27th would be better, but I'll go along with the majority.
I can do 27th.
I think you guys should just do the 27th, and who knows, maybe I'll call from Israel.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What is that?
It's a toll-free number.
Sure. Well, and the festival finishes on the 24th. The 25th, 26th, 27th, I'm literally just, going around. I'm actually going to get to see part of the country instead of just going for the festival. So.
Cool. All right, well, let's plan it. Let's plan for the 27th. If it is
15 again or 6 o'clock, I guess.
Let's go back to 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
So that would be 6 o'clock Mountain, 5 o'clock
Pacific.
West
yeah.
Coast. Okay. Because it sounds like Kevin, with his job change, will that won't be a problem. All right. All that is left is a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
And a second, please.
Second, Aaron.
Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned at 9:32 p.m. Eastern Time.
Sweet.
Awesome job, gang.
All right.
All righty. Thank you so much. I'll get that magazine information out to everybody so we can start thinking about what we want to do. Okay?
Cool.
And, Aaron, as soon as I talk with the insurance guy with Dale, I'll let you know what happens, okay?
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right, gang.
Happy to hear it.
Yeah, Aaron, Kevin, we should talk at some point and start coordinating for Mexico.
Absolutamente.
Exciting.
Orale.
Yeah, let's maybe put together a little phone chat sometime in the very near future.
Sounds good.
Cool. And I can, yeah, fill you guys in with what we got so far to the IRC and go from there.
Fantastico.
Cool. Have fun at Humboldt. Kevin and Brandy.
We will.
Woo!
Time yet. All right, gang. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Bye. Mm-hmm.